There is a sign-up sheet at the information desk out here in the lobby for we're going to have our Thanksgiving dinner on the 20th of this month. That's in 2 weeks. And if you want to sign up for something special, you can sign up out there. And we're going to make sure we've got plenty of food. I know there's two turkeys and at least one ham, and a lot of side dishes. So if you want to sign up for one of those, you would be more than welcome to join us, visitors included. And we always have plenty of food, plenty of turkey. We try and share it and send anything that's left over gets sent home with the people. Okay, so. I don't need it. If I turn sideways, you'll see why. But anyway, we're looking forward to Thanksgiving dinner on the 20th. That we will not have an evening service that night, and we will not have an evening service on that Wednesday night following the 23rd, because a lot of folks go out of town for Thanksgiving, and so we're going to give you that night off, and then we will meet again the 27th after Thanksgiving. Everybody be full of turkey and sleeping. Okay. How many of you grew up on a farm?
I'll go.
Okay. Halfway. How many of you had sheep? Okay, nobody. All right, good. Turn to the 10th chapter of John. 10th chapter of John, the Gospel of John. I've titled the message, "What is your job as a sheep?" God calls us sheep. Jesus called us sheep. So what does a sheep do? Or what is a sheep supposed to do besides grow wool? Okay. John 10, verse 3 says this: "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." Chapter 10 of the Gospel of John begins with two parables. Those who follow Jesus are in those parables. This morning, we're going to look at both because they're connected to each other and to each of us. The Lord calls us his sheep. What do we need to know about sheep? Well, the first thing we need to understand is this, and this is not an insult directed at you, but sheep are not the brightest of the animals on the farm. Sheep are skittish. They tend to run when they're frightened. And they don't always run in the right direction. And when the shepherd is not present, a sheep doesn't know where to go. You probably don't think of me as a sheep, but I'm a sheep just like you are a sheep. Lord Jesus is my Savior, and I'm following him. At least I'm supposed to be. I'm just as much a sheep as you are. The difference is that the Lord has called me to help guide the other sheep. There's always a lead sheep of some sort. I have seen sheep in Scotland walk in a straight line, one behind another, maybe 30, 40 sheep walking across the field, one following the leader. And I've been told if that leader walks off a cliff, that the rest of the sheep will walk off the same cliff.
That's stupid, yes.
Behind them. I don't know whether that's true or not. I've seen some sheep do some pretty strange things, but I haven't seen them do that. You see, most sheep come under pressure from other animals that want to get rid of the sheep. In our western states, which were considered cow states, cattle states. They didn't like sheep. And one of the reasons they didn't like sheep is that cows have limited teeth and they bite the grass off above ground. Sheep have very sharp teeth and they bite the grass off at the ground. So there's nothing left. And the grass a lot of times dies because of the heat and the lack of water out in that area. And that's why they did not like sheep, because they would get rid of all the cattle grazing. And so they did not want sheep out there. So if you're one of the Lord's sheep today, you're under pressure to act in certain ways that the other animals don't like, because you as a sheep make them uncomfortable. So let's look at that 10th chapter of the Gospel of John and see what the Lord wants us to know, and in some cases recognize for our individual safety. John 10, 1 and 2. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. There are several different animals that prey on sheep. Wolves love sheep. Coyotes, I've seen them kill sheep. Dogs, wild dogs, I've seen them kill sheep. It's not uncommon for a wolf to dress up as a sheep. That's a two-legged wolf. We had one of those one time in this church. They sneak in and pretend to be a sheep for a while. And eventually they get recognized because of their teeth and their ears being different. And most wolves are really cowards. They're easily run off. Although they do try and do as much damage as they can. Coyotes are a little different. They're normally not leaders, so they sneak in among the sheep and work from the inside to try and destroy the herd. Coyotes, we have them around here. Did you know that? Have you ever heard the coyotes around here?
No.
Yeah, we have them. We have coyotes. I have heard them around here. Coyotes are sneaky. I've watched them out in Texas. When my wife and I lived out in Texas in a Christian camp out there, we had a lot of coyotes around. And they would come in and try and attract domestic dogs away to come join them. And what they were doing, they were inviting them for dinner. Think about that. Before we go much further, we need to look at an item that's important about the door mentioned in chapter 3, or verse 3. What door is he talking about? And to find out the answer to that, we have to turn back to the last book in the Bible, to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Where he writes a letter to the seven churches of Asia. And when I say he, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who writes that letter. He dictates it to John. John writes it in chapters 2 and 3. As we come toward the end of chapter 3, he's writing to the church of Laodicea, which was not much of a church. And at the end of that letter, he says, beginning at verse 19, As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. He's talking about the door of your heart, your heart's door. And repentance must be a part of that opening of the door. The one who's wanting to come in to your heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the whole purpose, supposed to be the purpose that churches are here. He wants to be our shepherd. He wants us to be his sheep. Now, I hope that you understand that there are several ways to get into your heart or soul. There have been times when unscrupulous people will use pseudo-love to get into your heart. There are those who try to buy their way in, and those who confuse you into following a false doctrine or teaching in an effort to capture your soul. There are two groups, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, that would be good examples of that. We are all quite poor keepers of our soul. Sin devastates our souls. There's nothing that we can do for that. To fix that requires Jesus. We can't fix our own souls, no matter how much we want to. Jesus is the only one who can. Let's get back to our sheep status. In our opening verse, verse 3 of John 10, Jesus tells us that his sheep hear his voice. You know, we don't always hear his voice. There are times when we get so far into the world that the noise drowns out the voice of God, the voice of Jesus, as he's trying to speak to us and encourage us to do what he wants done. We have to be careful not to let that happen. Jesus tells us that in that verse, that his sheep follow him. Sometimes a sheep will wander off looking for something new, either to eat or learn about. And sheep sometimes actually get out of the pasture. When my wife and I were in Scotland for that time of ministry, in the morning, we had to drive 50 miles from where we were living up toward Edinburgh, the capital. And there was never a trip that we made up there. It was all through the country. They don't have many expressways like we had I-26. They don't need that. They can have accidents on those secondary roads just fine. But there was hardly ever a trip that we made that we didn't see a sheep in the road someplace. It had gotten out of the pasture, and it didn't know where to go. Didn't know how to find its way back to the pasture it had gotten out of. They're not bright animals, folks. Sheep are like that. I truly believe that Jesus compared us to sheep because we do a lot of things as sheep do. John 10, 4 and 5. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The thing that this verse tells me and tells us is that Jesus sends his sheep out to accomplish his purpose. He goes before the sheep to provide for them. And we are told that the sheep all know his voice. And usually his voice speaks to each of us from his word. We don't necessarily hear it here. We might occasionally hear it here, but most of the time he's speaking from his word. We call it God's word, and we're told that it is the word of God. And that is what speaks to us if we want it to. But sometimes we don't want to hear it because we have our own plans. We have our own desires. We just don't want to hear what this book says because it might contradict what we want to do. That's a typical sheep. At times like that, we just don't listen. You know, it always puzzled me why a sheep of Christ will follow a false shepherd. And the thing about following a false shepherd is that the follower will always try to get others to follow with them. Have you heard the expression, misery loves company? I guess it's true that misery does love company. It causes me to wonder if the sheep really belong to Jesus, if they're willing to follow others. Now, we've looked at this, but I want to specifically notice what Jesus said next. John 10:6. This parable Jesus spoke to them, but they understood not what things were which he spake to them. Ever read the word and wondered, what's it talking about? Or is that talking about me, or is that talking about somebody else? I'm not going to name names. I started to name a name, and I thought, I won't do that. Let's read on, John 10:7-8. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Did you ever hear someone say to you, well, it doesn't matter what church we belong to, we're all trying to get to the same place, we're all working our way to the same place? Ever hear that? I want to share a verse with you. Well, a couple of verses, actually. Let's start with Titus 3:5. When it talks about works, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. It is a gift of God. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost is renewed in your heart. Another verse, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when they say, oh, we're all working our way to the same place, works don't work. John 10:9-10. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus tells us that he has come to bring us abundant life. Abundant life. What kind of abundance of life has he given you? When you talk to him today, what did he tell you? I hope you've talked to him already today. Because if you haven't, you've missed some time and an opportunity. Has he given you prosperity? Has he given you health? Don't see any of you in ICU. Has he given you a special relationship with God so that you are being used to bring others to Christ? That's our purpose, folks. That's our purpose, to tell others about Jesus and what he's done for us. Are you receiving showers of blessings from him on a daily basis? I hope you are. It depends on how you look at life. Let me tell you what you should be experiencing daily. You should be immersed in the love of God on a daily basis. Every day you should feel the love of God pouring into your life, no matter what you're going through. When the Holy Spirit indwells our hearts, at the moment that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he indwells our hearts, and he brings with him certain fruit. It's just one fruit, but it has many different characteristics. Love, joy, peace, that's all from the Holy Spirit. That's in you. It's in your heart. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, in your heart. Faith, meekness. Then the last one, temperance. Folks, I have problems with that. And temperance is self-control. And we all have areas of our life where we could use a little more self-control usually. But that's what he brings. Now, I was dealing with someone, I was counseling someone this past week. And you know what they told me? And it didn't come as a surprise, I remember it. They were experiencing loneliness in a crowd. That ever happened to you? Be in a crowd of people. People everywhere. And you are alone. Where's the experience of the abundance of Jesus Christ or the love of God when you're at that point? You know the reason? You're looking here. You're not looking there. Difference between here and there is God and God's will. That's the abundance he wants you to have. He doesn't want you feeling lonely in a crowd. And people, that's a normal part of life. Many of us have experienced that. Sometimes it was our fault we were experiencing it because we were looking inward. We were not looking upward. After my wife died, that was the one emotion that was most difficult to overcome. One of them, but a difficult one. Because I was looking in the wrong place. I was looking at my own life. And I was not looking at what God wanted to do with me. I was not looking at the purposes He had out in front of me for me to do. I was not looking at the work that He had put out there for us to do. Every one of you have a job. Every one of you. Nobody sitting here does not have a job to do. You've got a purpose. He gave you a purpose. If you didn't have that purpose, you would not be breathing. He'd take you home if you know Jesus. That's part of the abundance He wants you to have. My question again is, what did He tell you when you talked to Him today? I'm just a little bit embarrassed by this, but He did tell me something when I talked to Him today. I woke up, the alarm went off, I woke up, sat up on the side of the bed, said, "Thank you, God, giving me another day. I'm looking forward to it." You know what I heard next? I didn't hear it here. I heard it here. "You forgot to set your clocks back." "You're up an hour early." What did He tell you when you talked to Him today? There's much more to His abundance than just that. He gives us real brothers and sisters. You're sitting among them. If you know Jesus, you're sitting among your brothers and sisters. We sang a song before we took up the offering. Family of God. And folks, if you know Jesus Christ, you're part of that family. And it's a wonderful family. Some of them don't drive so well, but it's a wonderful family. They love you. They love you. And they're ready for you to love them. That's all part of the family that we have of God. That's why we're here this morning. We're not here to get any brownie points or be able to check this off. "Well, I attended church today. That takes care of that week." That's not it at all. We're here to love each other. Because we want to be with each other. He provides fellowship with our church family. And just think about all the people who don't know Him and they don't have a church family. What a sad thing. They don't have a church family to love them, to fellowship with them, to be a part of their life. I don't want to live my life without my church family. I hope you don't either. That'd be awfully lonesome. Who would you pray for before you went to sleep? In the morning when you got up, who would you pray for if you didn't have a church family? John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Can we ask for a better shepherd than that to look after us? He will take us where we will find pasture. And when it's time for us to leave this life, he'll be waiting for us when we get home. He's already there waiting for us. John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. No one can fool Jesus by pretending to be something they're not. Jesus knows his sheep. He knows you, whether or not you're one of his sheep. It says he knows them all by name. Can you think of that? Can you comprehend that? That God knows you by name? I can. All the dumb things I've done, well, he's done it again. Wish he'd learn. He's not the brightest bulb in the string. I hope that everyone here this morning is one of his sheep. And if you're not, if you know in your heart that you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, this is the place you can find him. And you can find him this morning. You can be one of his sheep today. John 10:15 says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. What a price he paid to buy you from the devil. Jesus is the Father because he's God. He told his disciples that if they had seen him, they'd seen the Father. He came to buy back, to buy you back from your sin. He knew that the Holy Spirit, person of the Trinity, would give him life after he died for your sin. So he laid down his life for you. John 10:16 says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, as folks, we're Gentiles. We're not Jews. We're Gentiles. The Gentiles were a foreign group to the Jews back in Jesus' time. They had nothing to do with the Gentiles. The Gentiles were dirty in their sights. But Jesus looked at the Gentiles as part of the group that he was buying back from the devil. We are told, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that's what he had told Adam and Eve. The moment you eat that forbidden fruit, you're going to die. But the death was not physical. The death was spiritual. Their soul died. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so when Jesus died on that cross of Calvary, when he poured out his blood at the foot of that cross, he was buying your soul back. He was giving your soul a new life, making you a new person in Christ. And that, if you know Jesus Christ, that's where you are this morning. If we take this passage in context, we must understand that he was talking to the Jews about another flock. The Jews thought that they were the only people that God was going to save. But Jesus knew he was going to save the Gentiles too. That's us. Lastly, John 10:7-18 says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father." That is the reason that Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago to give you life. Father, we are so grateful for the way that you have reached out to us, for the way that you have called us to be your children, for the provisions that you have made for us, for bringing us here this morning safely. And Father, as we go our separate ways when this service is over, may you go with us. May we follow our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, in everything we do. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do in each of our lives, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.